You can go ahead and be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin reading with verse 6. The Apostle Paul here is writing, and of course he mentions all the things that God has blessed him with, and the things that he's seen, even those things in heaven that he's seen. Verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, this is not a lie, because it's in Scripture. You know, if a man on the street told you, "I like infirmity, I take pleasure in infirmity." I know Paul didn't say "I like," but he said, "I take pleasure in infirmity. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in necessities, in persecution, distresses, and I do this for Christ's sake." You know, we might think him to be crazy, but this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, and he said, "I've learned this. I've learned to take pleasure in these." Now, you know, I've heard it said that this thorn in the flesh that Paul had, it might have been something more than a thorn in the flesh, and you know, a lot of smart men that they have tried to explain that and say, you know, possibly that Paul was blind and that therefore he needed someone to pen the last letters that he wrote. Others have said, you know, maybe the thorn was his appearance because of the scars that he would bear in his body. That, you know, you think about that, and it's understandable. Someone that's got terrible scars, it sometimes you frighten people that way, especially young kids. And he might have felt like it was a hindrance to him and that he wanted them to be gone. But regardless, Bible says a thorn in the flesh. And a thorn in the flesh certainly gets the message across. Because when you think of a thorn in the flesh, you think of something that hurts. It's something that hurts. And it may be dull at times. It may be sharp at times. It's something that not only hurts, but it annoys. And it's something that it reminds us every step we take that it's there. Something as small as a thorn maybe in your foot, but you are reminded of it each and every time you take a step in life. And so what does Paul do? I want us to see tonight his request and how it was not the Lord's will to remove it. Well, that might cause some of us raise an eyebrow. You know, well, he asked for it. Why didn't God remove it? God is not our butler. We need to understand that. And yet, Paul, he did. He asked for it to be removed. Not only did he ask, but Brother Freddie, he asked very fervently. And the Bible says, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. And so we know that if we will ask God for things and we will ask fervently that God, that it does avail, it is something that it comes to the ear of God, God hears it, and it accomplishes great things, even in moving God one way or the other. If we didn't believe that, we might as well just quit praying if we didn't believe that prayer can change things. But it didn't change this, or at least it didn't seem to. And so Paul, he asked again, he asked a third time, we would say, knowing the heart of Paul, that this was a fervent prayer, and it was coming from the heart of a very righteous man, and he asked, but he didn't ask until he received, he asked until he received an answer. He didn't receive the answer he was looking for, but he received an answer. And that's very important that we understand that as God's people, that we are to pray, and we are to pray and ask God for requests, make requests known to Him. We are to let Him know the desires of our heart. God wants us to be open with Him. He wants us to request things, and yet that it's not just about asking until I get what I want, but it's about asking until we receive an answer. And so he receives the answer, and the answer was not, it was not really that he desired. But listen, Brother Alton, the answer was sufficient. The answer was sufficient. The grace was sufficient. And whenever he received the answer from the Lord, he was then okay. He was then able to go on with life. He was then able to put one foot ahead of the other. Now, I think about this. How many of us go to the doctor and we tell the doctor what we need? I know sometimes that may work for you. And you may laugh about it, that's the way it is. And you might get away with that sometimes. And again, it is a doctor, and doctors are not perfect. And doctors make mistakes. But many times we go and we tell the doctor what's wrong. And we tell the doctor what we need. And we ignore his credentials. And we even ignore his experiences, even though he may have seen a lot of things going on that we're not able to see. And what we want, really, what we want is him just to hand us over the prescription tab. Let us write our own prescription. Now, this is my problem. This is what I want, and I need this. Now, whenever we think about God, are we coming before the Lord with the solution, or are we coming to the Lord for the solution? It's very important that we understand, and this is what I'm trying to get at. God does know best. God knows best. And many times it's hard for us to grasp that, especially when it seems like we know best. It seems like it would just be easier. It would save a lot of trouble. It would just be great. God, just take His thorn and move it. And he's done what he's supposed to do, and he's prayed, and he's asked God, and he's asked him again, and he's asked him again. And God says, no, I'm not going to remove that thorn. But he gives him an answer. And that, again, that's very important. We see that in God's eyes, in this particular case, in God's eyes, Paul was better with the thorn. Paul realized he was better with the thorn as well. You know why he believed that? Because of faith. He accepted, God, your grace is sufficient. You can help me even with the thorn. And so he then was able to rejoice with the infirmity. Now, not all of us are willing to accept he knows best. Now, we wouldn't dare say that out loud, I know. And there's, you know, we wouldn't dare say that, well, I think I know better than what God does. But there's many cases where our faith certainly is tried. Because we look at the situation, we think, well, God, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. God, maybe you don't understand my circumstance. God, maybe you're not hearing me. And we want to press, but God always, I want you to get this, God always has an answer. Always. Philippians chapter 4. If you will, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, these verses, ones I just read and the ones that we read a moment ago, they did not contradict one another. God said, make your request. And we need to do that. He said, be careful for nothing. To be careful for nothing, he said, don't worry. Now, you say, well, we're supposed to be careful. There's a care of diligence. That's good. There's a care of distrust, of worry. That's not good. It's not good for us. Many times there's things that just overwhelm us, and I believe this. There's, because we are human, and because even the way God designed us, there's things that hit us at a time we can't help but worry. That is an emotion. That's something that it catches us, and it elevates our heart rate and all these things, and yet God gives us a time where we can deal with that and we can come to grips with it and we can turn to trust Him with it. God allows that. I know, Brother Mike, you and I have talked about Jesus and how He had to go to the cross, and He knew that. But when the time came, He went to pray and His sweat was like great drops of blood. That's human. That's him. That was a human response. That does not mean Jesus sinned. And, you know, there's people that just about, whenever they go give you an explanation about worry, they just about make it out that Jesus sinned. He did not sin. But He was dealing with something that come upon Him, and no doubt it may have caused His heart to elevate, and it may have caused the sweat to begin to beat up on His head and come down. And He had a time where, as He would pray to God, He surrendered to the Lord's will, His Father's will. Amen. And God strengthened him. And God gave him the strength to be able to carry out what we call the plan of salvation, to go to the cross. So the Lord said, you be careful for nothing. Don't worry or become distracted by the unpredictable. He said, but with thanksgiving, make request. Trust the process. Just in my own words, trust, make your request. Trust the process. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I tell you, that's beautiful. When we can know that as we pray, that God is looking out for us and He can work all things together to good, for good to them that love the Lord. That even if the next thing that comes along seems bad, He can work that to the good. If we just love Him and trust the process, trust He knows what He's doing. And listen, he said, the peace that passeth understanding. There's a reason that peace passeth understanding. That's because the carnal human mind cannot comprehend the peace that comes from God. Cannot. Paul had peace with the thorn. The carnal mind cannot understand that. You just can't. You can try to explain to people why things happen and why you got a smile on your face while you're dealing with things. And they say, I don't understand that. That just does not make sense. But it does to you. because you know who God is. The peace that passeth understanding. Paul had peace with the thorn. Paul had peace with his infirmities. And he understood this was better for him in the long run than to even have it removed. Because the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And this thorn is given so that you, Paul, will not get lifted up in pride. You've seen too much. You've been too blessed to carry on the way that you are. You'll get lifted up. You'll get exalted above measure. And so I'm going to give you something to bring you back down to earth. Bible says, ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Many times we run and say, well, he asked, but he didn't receive. Listen, Bible says this, that everything we ask the Lord, we're to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because if we ask without faith, we shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. That's in the book of James. You can go and read it. If you ask and you don't ask God in faith, then you shouldn't expect to receive anything. All right, so I can ask God with faith. He knows best. I can seek with faith and knock, knowing that he knows best. And the peace that passeth all understanding will come. And it'll help out. It'll bless my mind. It'll bless my heart as well. You know, without adversity, we would never see a need to take life to the next level. Without problems, we would forget to be thankful. Without a thorn, we may get lifted up in pride ourselves. So every now and then, there's a thorn for us. Without an enemy, we would never pick up our shield, would we? God give us a shield of faith. We wouldn't need it if we never had to face the devil. We never had to face the enemy. If there was never any trouble come along, we wouldn't need it anyway. And the only way we can please God is by faith. The just shall live by faith. So make your request, but understand, he is the one with the wisdom to make the diagnosis. Now, whether or not your doctor is, that's for you to determine. That's between you and him. But God has the wisdom. He's the one that really makes the diagnosis. You remember Joshua after the battle of Ai, or should I say after the slaughter at Ai? Joshua kind of looked at God, and I know he didn't say it exactly like this, but I believe this is kind of what was implied. God, you have failed us. That you have let us down. That you brought us out here and now we've failed before our enemies. And what's everybody going to say about that? What's that going to do to your great name? God ignored all that. He said, get up. Get up off your face. And you need to go and cleanse the camp. There's sin in the camp. He said, I'm not going to be with you anymore until that's taken care of. Sometimes God has a reason for doing things that we just simply cannot see. But if we'll look to him, he'll show us. He'll help us to understand. And it, in the process, while maybe we don't always understand at the beginning, maybe we don't always understand for a while, but as somebody said, you can praise him in the hallway. Well, you waiting on him to open the door. Praise him in the hallway. We can still trust him. God has never needed a mulligan. And for those who don't play golf, and I'm not one that does, but that's a do-over. God never needed a do-over. He has never got it wrong. Not one time. Did the thorn continue to hurt? Sure it did. He called it infirmity. Sure it continued to hurt. God gave him the grace to be able to get through the hurt though. Did it seem unfair? I'm sure at times it probably did. But did it help Paul become a better man? by his own admittance, he did. He admitted that, didn't he? I will glory in my infirmities. Tonight the message is to us that are saved, but it is more than that. It's to us that are willing to see things spiritually. It is to us that are willing to look to the Lord and understand God has this thing under control. We can get together, we can complain about things and how things are going, and you know, the news and politics and gas prices and look, there's so many things we can complain about, but just understand this. God knows what He's doing. He hadn't let us down yet, and He's not going to let us down. We just need to learn to trust Him more. We are to live by faith. You pray for me that I can. We ask for something.